Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning our topic is Super Overcoming Love. Super Overcoming Love, that is love that is available to us when we have failed in some manner. The New Testament makes it very clear that where sin abounded, grace superabounded, and then some more on top of that. That is the emphasis in the Greek text on grace. And we have the same very powerful focus in the New Testament with regard to the love of God. God's love is available to us indeed when we have failed in our walk with him. Now, it should not be surprising to anyone to understand that we have all experienced failure. And I say that in that manner because I don't want anyone to get the impression that we are, or there are those who are failures, that is another state of being. But failure as an event, failure as an experience, is quite real and common, and yet our focus can never be on the failure, but what we learned or what we gathered from the event of failure, what it meant for our lives, how that experience or experience improved our lives, so that we were able to get up and to move on and be successful in life. I want to read to you, first of all, from Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in a wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, drew his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and to be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This very powerful parable is found in Luke chapter 15. It is, in fact, the third parable in this very provocative chapter. The first parable of Luke 15 is a parable of the lost sheep. The second one is a parable of the lost coin. This parable is in, some have called it the parable of the lost son. There's a very interesting word in the Old Testament that is used for, sometimes that is used for evil or rebellion, or even sin at times. It is the word ra. And ra is a very specific term in the Old Testament, which designates that evil carries its own consequences. And so, in other words, inherent within the act or the activities of evil are the, would be the consequence or the consequences thereof. And so, ra also means the breaking up or ruining of all of those things which make for continuity within the life of the individual and for those around him. So it is a very small term of just two letters in Hebrew, and yet it packs a very powerful set of circumstances. And so we have in this parable that very reality going on. And I will illustrate that to you here. So please notice what the younger one said to his father in verse 11, give me my share of your estate. And so the father divided his property between the sons. And in verse 13, we read that the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild, profligate living. In other words, he wanted the party scene. It is interesting that the consequences of the party life are old very old. This parable was delivered in the first century AD, and of course, partying did not start there. It is later than that time as well. But I want you to see how old this is, and this route that was taken by the youngest son. He is on a journey. He is on a downward journey. He doesn't realize yet that his life is in a dizzying existential spiral because he is satiated for the moment. He is satiated with his senses have been engorged with desire. And so at this point, he does not yet realize that his satiation will come to an end and what he has done to himself will collapse. It is inevitable that this happens. He goes up very high, very quickly, and then he will come down. And when he comes down from his binge, as it were, he will find himself without friends and without resources. So he is on a journey of self-destruction, but it doesn't feel that way. It never feels that way. With the release of endorphins and just pleasure chemicals in the brain, one wants to ride that high and stay there. And in order to recoup that high, one needs to keep satiating to the point where the neurons, the synapses, can no longer be manipulated in that way. And so the desire to reach the initial high because one was unpolluted can never be reached again because now the synapses have been polluted. And so there's that struggle to try to reach that high, that initial high that can never be reached again. So one has to look for other means in order to come to that pinnacle or apex that is now unreachable. There is a point of limitation at which the body can no longer take on what desire, and the body begins to reject what we have done to it. So I want you to see that this man has now reached the other end of his high. He is going to experience what it's like to be without. Now, we go on in verse 14. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. Now, God is watching his life. And when he has squandered everything that he had in his possession, parallel that with a famine, a severe famine. And so now there is pressure and increased and intense pressure upon what he has done to his life. Now, because of the famine, he can find no food in order to feed himself. So, verse 15, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed, excuse me, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. What precious little food was still available, people were keeping for themselves and their families. and they were not going to be gracious at this time of desperate need, especially to a wanton stranger who they had witnessed be so abusive with the wealth that he obviously had at one time. And now that he is in need, no one is there to rescue him. Verse 17 is a remarkable verse because we read, when he came to his senses. And I like that because it shows me the grace of God in the midst of this very dire situation, and that God still showed himself in the life of this man by making him aware of what he left behind, what he has thrown away for the party soon, for the party life, what he had given up, as it were. And today, I see many young people who are brought up in purportedly Christian homes who have opted for this behavior. And it is very difficult to behold. I'll have another verse that I want to read to you in reference to this before we go on. This is Proverbs chapter 15, verse 32, Proverbs 15, 32, and the verse reads as follows. He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding. He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding. Now, very carefully, we look at this verse. The word here for ignores in the Hebrew means to be out of control or running wild. I know that doesn't come across in the English version, but in the Hebrew, this is a very meaning. To be out of control, to be running wild. And, or it even means unrestrained, unrestrained. In a recent media report, it was told that a young man had killed four people with his vehicle. And he got no prison time or jail time because he was the victim of affluenza. A psychologist said that this young man who had killed four people was also a victim of affluenza. We are living in a time of moral relativism in which one can make up a philosophical definition for a condition that has nothing to do at all with practical medical knowledge or experience. But it shows you, or it should tell us, the intent of value intensive nature of what it means to be of wealth. This young man's family was wealthy, and so this was his sentence. And so he wants to get help, but no prison term, no time for the mindset that he had taken. Because he was drunk. And so in our time of moral relativity, we see that it is power and wealth that are the meaningful units of value in our culture. And so look at this verse again very carefully. He who ignores discipline despises himself. Now, and in Hebrew, again, there's a different meaning. To be out of control, running wild, unrestrained. And the word despises there means literally to be dissolving or vanishing. It means also to be rejected or to throw oneself away. So, and the word himself in Hebrew is nefesh, that is the soul. And so the person who is running wild, in other words, he is literally dissolving within. It is the personality, the life of the individual. And it literally means, once again, to throw oneself away. Well, we see this behavior in this young person in Luke chapter 15. The terms in Hebrew are very specific and point out for us the very serious nature of actions, and that no matter what an individual might say, for instance, that an individual has affluence, he is the victim of wealth, when one seeks to impose that kind of semantic mysticism upon truth, eventually these things fall apart because one can hire another psychologist to say just the opposite. But beneath and underlying human behavior and relative reduction of values are the everlasting words of God. And so there is the truth of God. And so it is God that makes sure that for each individual, he or she will always sow what he or she shall, will always reap what he or she sows. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, are the words of God. They are unchangeable. They are immutable. They are foundational. And so when human cultures begin to eat themselves up through the idolatries that they have unleashed upon themselves, the righteous ones can know that there is stability for them because of the character of God. I am the Lord, I change not, saith the Lord. I change not. I am the same yesterday, or Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we build our lives, or the foundation of our lives, on thus saith the Lord. This young man is moved to go home. He has rehearsed a speech that he will give to his father. When his father sees him, we read in verse 19, a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. The son did not run to the father. It was the father who ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. Here is love who understands what his son's life was like, that he was running wild, and that his son was dissolving and had thrown himself away. The speech that the son rehearsed for his father in order to get back into his father's life and love was never needed. But the father loved the son. He only wanted him back home. If there is anyone out there today who has failed at something or believe that he or she, because of a failure, cannot come back home, you can come back home to God. God loves you. His love does not fail. There's no speech that you need to rehearse for God. You need to come. You need to allow your Father to come and embrace you and celebrate your return. Notice what the Father does. Verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring not just a robe, but bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring of ownership on his finger and identification, and sandals on his feet, because his feet were scorched and dry and ruined. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. He is starving physically and spiritually. Let's have a feast and celebrate in order to rejoice his heart. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost. Now, this word lost in the Greek New Testament is the word apomeia, and it means ruined. It means to be utterly destroyed. But this father celebrates the return of his son. Beloved, today, I want you to avail yourself of God's super overcoming love. If you think or believe that there is a failure so great in your life that God's love cannot overcome, then you must read again John 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection, or the aesis, has taken care of the sin question. You need to avail yourself. You need to come home. You need to get away from the party life. You see it's ruined. You see the habit it has done to you. You see the drugs and sex. You see what the alcohol has done to you. You see what it has done to those who love you. Now is the time to make a decision to come home to the God of grace who loves you, who needs no explanation because he already knows where you have been. There is grace for you today, right now. The greatest blessing is the love of God, who died not only for me, and he did die for my sin. I accepted him many, many years ago, and now it is time for you to make that same wonderful decision to come to God. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Lynch. I will meet with you next time on your Matipos. Today, let this be a very wonderful day for you. Come to the Savior.